Get a jump start on 2024 in a new Kia from Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia. Shop their large selection, including the new Sorento, Niro, and Soul models. You'll score big with low prices, trade assist cash, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit olathekia.com.
You are listening live to the program.
Brought to you by Worth Harley-Davidson North. I-29 in Tiffany Springs. Why the hell not? You're worth it.
Your teams, your town, your program.
If it's an 82-game season, you may be able to, take a couple of days. But ultimately, the sides do need to find some sort of detente, and I just don't know where that is. And without that, we're not going to see baseball this year.
None of us have been around each other if so many teams are going to be in one spot. So there's so many things out there that, we could be at risk of. So, if we're going to do it, obviously as players we want to play, but we want to play for something, especially if we were in position to play for that in the first place.
It's the cleanest place in L.A. Of course, the facility is, but I don't know if I'm just ready yet. I'm eager to play, ready to play, excited to play. I just want things to, kind of calm down a little bit more and kind of go back to normal before we get to, jumping in cold tubs and hot tubs.
And now, signing an executive order banning reporters from beginning questions with Just Talk About, Seren Petro.
Oh, right you are, Kay. Right you are. Petro on the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome to a soggy Thursday. Listen, I don't know about you, man. I like the rain. I love me some rain. I love getting outside. Thanks to my guys at All Weather Decks, got the dry underdecking. I'm not kidding you. I love to sit outside with a Corona and just chill and watch and listen to it rain. But this is getting ridiculous. So be careful out there, as I know we've got flooding going on all around the metro. We'll try to take your mind off of that with a little soothing SPORTS in the afternoon. I steal that phrase. God, I can't remember the guy's name at WFAM. We should ask Dorian. She's too young. She wouldn't remember this guy. Joe Meningo, I think it was, used to say schmoozing a little SPRTS under the covers was one of his lines. He did the overnights on WFAN, and it was one of my favorites. I always like that, schmoozing a little SPRTS.
Pretty good.
We will try to take your mind off the flooding and everything else going on.
Smooth sports.
Yeah. He was good. He was funny. Yes, we'll bring you some sports talk here as it has been a rainy day. The good news is it's Thursday. The weekend starts on Thursday in my world. I don't know about yours. Since I'm broadcasting from the house, likelihood that we get through all 4 hours of the program without a Corona premiere being in my hand is not good. It's not good. There's a pretty good shot that that happens. So we are tiptoeing to the weekend. We're all under pressure. All under stress in our various different ways. So we're taking you right up to the weekend. Everyone mails in Friday. So it really starts on Thursday. I've confirmed that with my daughters. They always felt like Thursday night was the beginning of the weekend because Friday you just cruise through. So everybody needs the weekends now more than ever. So hopefully you are looking forward to a weekend that'll be a lot better weather than we've got right now. We're going to get you some Stump the Chumps coming up a little bit later on. Hey, boys. Big day. Now, I say this, hopefully weather permitting, because like I said, there is some serious flooding going on out there. So do be careful. If you don't know how deep it is, don't mess with it. If the road is closed, stay away from it. We've got enough going on, right? That's potentially damaging towards our lives. Don't be messing around with flooding. But assuming the roads are good, Peter Yates Enoch making his triumphant return to the program. Hells yeah. I'm very fired up for that. Let's go. Let's get Pete Enoch back in here. So we'll give you a chance to win that great Cajun food from Jazz as our man, our friend, our pal, the iconic Peter Yates Enoch makes his return to Stump the Chumps today. So you don't want to miss that at 3 o'clock. And, we're giving away free food. All you got to do is Stump the Chumps. So, let's go. Let's get ready to rock and roll. 4 o'clock, our man Blair Kirkhoff joins us. Courtesy of our friends at Robert Brogdon Buick GMC. You can find them online at robertbrogdon.com. Blair Kirkhoff with us in the 4 o'clock hour. We look forward to talking to Blair. And then in the 5 o'clock hour, Jim Sterk, Missouri Athletic Director, scheduled to join us in the program. We'll also get you the things you need to know. So a very busy program. Heavy hitters, Jim Sterk, Blair Kirkhoff, Peter Yates Enoch. And we also hope to bring you some of the sounds of the Chiefs assistant coaches that are going to be made available in the Zoom in the 2 o'clock hour. We'll see if I can get a few questions in during the breaks of this hour with the Chiefs various assistant coaches that they're making available today. We start, however, on that subject with the Kansas City Chiefs. I'll pose this. There's more and more stories. Jadeveon Clowney remains out there. I read more and more stories about how he's not happy with the offers, which is fine. To me, Jadeveon Clowney, not anywhere on the Chiefs' radar when this offseason started. People expecting him to garner a big, big paycheck in the neighborhood of $20 million per year. That offer has not come. The Cleveland Browns are said to have made the largest offer to this point, and he is said to have had no interest in that offer. Now, is that because he's holding out and just counting on getting bigger dollars, or is that because he doesn't want to play for the Cleveland Browns? Either way, the longer Jadeveon Clowney is out there, the more seemingly he would become a viable option for the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, I get it if you're saying Clowney's an end, Chris Jones is a defensive tackle. Positionless football, right? I know it's not the same. That verbiage doesn't mean the same from the standpoint of what you would look at the secondary, of the hybridization that's gone on between corners and safeties, slot corners and safeties, linebackers and safeties in the obvious passing downs. But I think it is still occurring. And we know stopping the pass is priority number one in the NFL. And we know that you're going to be a nickel or dime more often than not. And so, to me, if you can line up a bunch of guys with the addition of Taco Charlton, who called himself 6'7", 267 pounds, if you can line him up, with a guy, and of course Frank Clark is going to be out there, with a guy like, Jadeveon Clowney, who's 6'6", and 270 pounds, are you not getting towards the ultimate kind of those guys, moving them up and down? Whoever plays D-tackle, fine. But we know, and it won't be Frank Clark, but whoever can set the edge best sets the edge. I mean, if you can get good football pieces, don't you want them? Like, let's say this, perfect world, you have cap room. Are the Chiefs better or worse by adding Jadeveon Clowney?
Better.
Better, right? It goes without saying. Yeah. You're a better football team when you add a really talented player. Sack total's not going to blow you away. Great against the run, but a lot of pressures, right? Considered a better pass rusher than his sack totals would lead you to believe, he is a good football player. At $20 million, you're overpaying for him. The Chiefs should have no interest in him. There are some reports out there that teams like the Eagles might be interested at $10 million per. If you're the Chiefs and you were able to get him for 1 year for $15 million, would you take it? Let's forget about what collateral damage happens. Let's just start with that. Would you take him on a one-year $15 million deal?
Yes.
Yes. Would you take him on a five-year $60 million deal where it averages out to 12, you can bring him in at a low number this year, you backload it, maybe it's 3 years, you get out with a $10 million hit at the end of 3 years. Would you take that right now? If you could get, forget about whatever, let's assume the money's there. Would you take that deal with Jadeveon Clowney right now?
It'd be 27, 28, 29, 30, and 31 in those years.
And again, after three, you're at a spot where he's cheaper to cut than keep.
I would, yes.
Yeah, I would too. Now the question becomes, can he fit? No, he doesn't fit right now with where the Chiefs' cap situation is. But if Chris Jones isn't on this team, yes, he could. Now, number one would be if a trade market is created for Chris Jones, then I would certainly listen to it, okay? And if you can get something for Chris Jones, seemingly more than a third-round pick, the Chiefs seem committed to Chris Jones is going to be on their roster this year. They've come past trading him for draft picks. So you would need better than a third-round pick to go ahead and say, okay, we're going to bring him on. Otherwise, you can just play it out and get the third-round pick next year, assuming he plays at a fairly high level if he plays. But what if he's not going to sign? In this uncertain environment of the salary cap, if he's not going to come in, and this is why, to me, the Kansas City Chiefs should at least be talking to Jadeveon Clowney and talking to him loudly. By loudly, I mean so that reporters get word of it, so that Chris Jones and his agent get word of it, that they've got an option. Chris Jones is one of roughly, I think it's about half. Somebody sent me a thing breaking down how many of the guys had signed. With potential cap cuts coming next year, and I can tell you from talking to people in the league, they don't know right now how the salary cap's going to work next year. To me, the reason half of the guys have already signed that are on the franchise tag is because they're worried about that tag getting pulled and not getting that guaranteed money for Chris Jones at $16 million. Chris Jones, at 26 years old and the position he plays and as good as he's been, can know that he's going to get a deal that gets him more than $16 million if it gets pulled. There isn't a fear of, oh, my God, I'm not going to get the $16 million. All right? He knows on the free agent market somebody would carve out at least a two-year, you know, $30 million deal with $28 million guaranteed. He's not going to lose $16 million. There is a market for him. But do you want to end up getting that deal or taking that deal playing for a bottom feeder? What I think is interesting about Jadeveon Clowney, he's played for contending Texans teams. He played for a contending Seahawk team. The Browns, which some people last year, certainly a lot of people, thought were going to be a contending team, are interested in him. He has no interest in the Browns. Is it just monetarily driven? Well, then he's just looking for the payday, which I begrudge no player with the physical toll that is taken on by them when they play in the NFL. I got no problem with them saying, you know what? No, now I got to get paid. This is my last chance, my last guaranteed chance for a big payday. I am going to the highest bidder no matter what that team looks like. Okay. But maybe Jadeveon Clowney has been smart with his money and is saying, listen, I got a range that I want, but it's fun playing on contending teams. I want to try to win a Super Bowl. The Browns aren't going to win a Super Bowl. That's why he wants no part of the Browns. And maybe he would give the Chiefs not a hometown discount, but a winning discount. I want to win. Therefore, I will take less to be here. If that's there, and if there's a legit chance of Jadeveon Clowney signing, and Chris Jones is not going to sign, and he's going to hold out for 11 games, come in, play the last five, just to accrue another year of service time, and then go through this whole scenario next year again, a time when the cap is down and seemingly there would be very little trade value again if we have no fans in the stands and the team loses upwards of, what, $5.5 billion, the NFL, they're talking about losing 45% of revenues. Some people have speculated if that's going to be the case, why would we think that there is a robust trade market for Chris Jones? Why would Chris Jones and his agents think that there's going to be a robust market for giving him a multi-year deal? Granted, he's going to get it over a player that's not near as good as him, but the market has changed. It's terrible timing for Chris Jones to be out there, but if Jadeveon Clowney's saying no to the Browns, and if the price is coming down, 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 don't you at least have to be, doesn't the Kansas City Chiefs organization and Brett Veach need to at least be talking to his agents to find out where it is? Because if you're not going to have Chris Jones and you can get Jadeveon Clowney for, let's say, 75% of the number that you are going to have to, and maybe even because we're talking about if we're talking about a multi-year deal, and maybe you take a one-year, $15 million prove-it deal, and so it's a little bit less. But you know once he signs, he's coming to camp. Mm-hmm. And you could put your scheme together however you want to do it. Would that be a better option than sitting and waiting and wondering about whether or not if Chris Jones is going to come in?
I sure think so. I mean, Jadeveon Clowney has a freak show set of physical skills. And it hasn't always been there, but if it was still Bob Sutton in charge of the defense, I'd be a little more leery about it. But with Spagnuolo and the way he works those defensive linemen, I would love to see that skill set with a Spagnuolo defensive approach and scheme and plop him on the other side of Frank Clark. Good luck pass protection in the AFC, at least for this year. And you talked about, you know, making sure that it's loudly. You know, at this point, Chris Jones and his agent kind of say to the Chiefs, well, what are you going to do? Well, the answer is, here's what we're going to do. I think maybe that gets his nose open a little bit, and you can maybe go at him a little bit more. So, yes, I would, because of the combination of the impact it would have on the Chris Jones negotiations and his position in all this, and the way I think Steve Spagnuolo is as equipped as any defensive coordinator in the game, to use those talents. To have a healthy Frank Clark on one side and an inspired Jadeveon Clowney on the other, I'm down with that for sure.
Over the last 4 years, Pro Football Reference lists Chris Jones having an approximate value, right? They do a numeric deal where they figure out his 30 points over the last 4 years, 6, 5, 10, and 9 last year. Jadeveon Clowney over the last 4 years has a value of 40 points, 13, 10, 11, and 6. Chris Jones has missed 3 games over the last 4 years. Jadeveon Clowney has missed 5.
You're not talking me out of it.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
You know, listen, Chris Jones is listed at 6'6", 310. Clowney's listed at 6'5", 255. I would say that I don't think either one of those numbers are right. I think Chris Jones now plays in the 270s. Mm-hmm. He's a lot slimmer than he was when he first got to the Chiefs, and I have no problem with it. He plays great. Jadeveon Clowney, I don't think is 255. He looks bigger than that to
me. 65 or 270.
And so, to me, I don't think we're talking about guys that physically are that different. And we know that the knock against Chris Jones, and we know that he was much better this year against the run than he has been in the past, but that's the knock on him. And he's gotten better at a lesser size. To me, I think Clowney can come in and you could play him in a different, and Taco Charlton can play inside. And to me, you've got just a lot of different guys to try to make it fit. Is it priority one? No, priority one is signing Chris Jones. But I'm talking about if they're not even close. If Chris Jones is asking for 5 years, $150 million, 6 years, $150 million, and Clowney can be had 5 for $60, which by all accounts right now he can't be, but if that's where it gets to, if nothing else, it does not hurt the Chiefs in any way, shape, or form to at least be talking to Jadeveon Clowney. Find out what is it he wants. Does he want to play for only a contending team? Okay, and by the way, Jadeveon Clowney is 27, not 32. He, too, is 27 years old. Is what he wants is a contending team? Can you get him on a 1 year prove it deal? Can you get him on a multi-year deal that you know, he wants to play for the contending team, so he'll get for less? To me, that's just doing the job right.
Yeah, you mentioned it's not priority one, but it sure as hell could help with priority one. Jed,
yes.
What do you think?
Right. Well, and you mentioned the idea that if he does want to come in and play for a contender, that he's going to be motivated. He's going to come in hungry because he wants to win the championship. You also painted the scenario where if Chris Jones is going to sit out and only come in to accrue the year of service, how disgruntled is he going to be? How upset, how motivated is he going to be versus if you're getting, like you said, 80% of the player, but wanting to, you know, play for the team and actually go out and win a championship.
Doesn't have the ring that Chris Jones has, wants that ring.
Isn't coming in fat and happy, for lack of a better term.
Do you know how many quarterback hits Chris Jones had last year, or over the last 4 years? 72. Do you know how many quarterback hits Jadeveon Clowney had over the last 4 years?
I was going to say 68.
72.
Oh, wow. Nailed it.
And hits, I mean, hits are an underappreciated number. People just look at sack numbers, but, you know, we've said it's the pressure, and bad things happen just from pressure, not just quarterback sacks. And hits is a big thing. That means
last
you're in the vicinity.
Years. Last 2 years, Chris Jones wins 49 to 39. That encompasses up Jadeveon Clowney down here. But, again, I'm not trying to sell anybody on the fact that Jadeveon Clowney is better than Chris Jones. I'm not. But if there's a salesmanship that's going on here, it's that – if Jadeveon Clowney will sign and Chris Jones won't, that is a big difference. And if Jadeveon Clowney can be had for a lot less money than Chris Jones, that gives you that much more money to go add other players. As soon as Chris Jones's fate is decided, people will move on to the next shiny object that they want. And if it's you don't even have a chance at that versus, yes, we can add that to Jadeveon Clowney. You know, I made the point many times, you know, it's not just that it's Alex Smith's cost. It's that you could have Ryan Fitzpatrick and Julio Jones for the same price that you've got Alex Smith, which makes this team better.
Right.
It's the same thing here. What other free agent are you going to be able to go out and get with the difference in the cap room that you will save on paying Jadeveon Clowney less? And that's the riddle that the New England Patriots have always gotten. They had the quarterback in place, and they never let anything else blow up the cap. And that's the way I think you should play the game. Play the salary cap game. is I don't think anybody, it's just like in baseball free agents, I don't think you need to go get, pay Manny Machado, and we're going to see what happens with the Reds, pay Manny Machado at the highest end of the solar system when it comes to third baseman, when Mike Moustakas can be had for a fraction of the cost and give you 85% of the production. I think it's true here. Yes, the fit is different because it's not D-tackle for D-tackle. But the goal is still to try to put together as many good football players as you can. That is still what you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah. So Clowney better than Jones? No. Clowney better for the Chiefs than Jones? Quite possible.
Yeah, Clowney and his cap number?
Yeah.
Better for the Chiefs? Quite possible. So, listen, it's just something that I see sitting out there that I'm quite confident that the Chiefs will do their due diligence and take a look at what it would be for what it would take to get Clowney signed. And to me, it's something that I think if I'm Chris Jones's agents, if they haven't thought through this scenario that the longer Clowney sits out there, the worse it gets for him, gets for their client. Chris Jones, and it's bad for Clowney because he doesn't have the contract and the financial security that he wants. But at some point, man, if I'm them, I'm real happy that the Chiefs haven't brought Jadeveon Clowney out to the complex. I mean, it's different nowadays because you can bring him in through the airport, and who's at the airport anymore, right? You can bring him in through the front door, but no reporters are there because you can't socially distance in the Chiefs reporting where their reporter area is. So, but this would be the old days. March him right in the front door and make sure that Chris Jones and his people know we're talking to Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah, there would be a quick text. You see this?
Well, and everybody in this town would be talking about it.
Yep.
And then there might be pressure on the Chiefs to go out and sign Jadeveon Clowney. Right? Hey, well, if Chris Jones isn't going to sign him, we can get Clowney. Let's take him. I definitely think the Chiefs need to be talking to him. I think it's an option that's out there, and I think there isn't a better defensive line coach than Brendan Daly. Who we're going to hear from later on in the program, and I don't think there's a better defensive coordinator to bring those types, Tano Passanio, Taco Charlton, and Jadeveon Clowney, three guys, 6'6". I mean, they've already got it. I know Chris Jones is 6'6", but to bring that skill set together and find a way to make that defensive line rotation work, nobody's more qualified to do that than Steve Spagnuolo, and it's something the Chiefs should be taking a good, long, hard look at. We'll take a break here in the program. We come back. I want to get into the Major League Baseball Players Association's response, some of the comments from Scott Boras, and some of the comments from Trevor Bauer. Jeff Passan will be with us here in the next few days on SportsCenter Talk. And, you know, he said coming into the week, most important week for baseball is right now, and not a lot is getting done. And the players' response, I think, is very important. How they're going to respond, what the response is going to be, is very important. I also want to get into Scott Boras's role in this. And do we have the players maybe fracturing, maybe not quite as unified as they would like to be? We'll talk about that next here in the program on Sports Radio, 810 WHB.
The program with Soren Petro.
Go! It's showtime. Let's start. It's fun time. Here we go.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, welcome back here to the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro with you as we make our way through a soggy Thursday here in the program. Let's talk about what's going on in Major League Baseball. The owners putting their proposal out to the players, and the players not that fired up about it, not even really going to respond to it. The response is apparently going to be that they want more games and they want to stick to the prorated portion of the deal that they signed back in March when everything was shut down. They want to be paid on a per-game basis, exactly however much of their salary they were due based upon how many games that they played, that they end up playing. They want to push the number of games, not from 82 up towards 100. And the vibe, and we talked to Joe Sheehan about this yesterday. If you missed that, catch it on the podcast, 810WHB.com and on the 810 app. But Joe Sheehan giving really laying out a lot of the reasons why the players can't give on this. And I do think it's interesting. I've talked to some people in front offices, and they've said, listen, you know, the idea that the money's gone and it's going to have to get recouped somewhere, that's real. I do think that that is there, and the players are going to have to at some point, you know, they're going to lose some money, whether that's none of the guys that are signed right now and it's just new contracts are going to reflect the money that's been lost. In other words, they're going to sit there and they're going to say, okay, you know, a deal that would have been, you know, 8 for $160 is now going to be 8 for $120. And just the entire market, the entire free agent market is going to be depressed and it's going to come down. In the next collective bargaining agreement, the owners are going to ask for another year of arbitration. The players are supposedly wanting less. They're going to ask and fight for another year of arbitration. Whatever it is, I do think that they're going to come back around looking for that money. And I'll state what I've said all along. I do think when you sit in negotiations and you say, hey, we take all the risk as the owners, when the risks come around, you can't immediately come back to the players and ask them to now pay for your risk. That's the whole reason why you get 50%, right? There's a lot of people say, well, wait a minute, the game is the players. Why? How about the owners get 10%, 20%? They get 50%. Now, they incur all the costs and all the risks, but they have none of nobody would pay to watch the owners come out there and play baseball, would they?
Not many of them, no.
No, no. So the point is, your product is the players. I wonder what the ratio is. How much of, you know, and they would say, well, the stadium is part of the product, you know, the environment you're in, and I would agree. You know, it's there's a lot of different variables that go into it. But the bottom line is people are paying to watch baseball players, right? And so that's where all the revenue is going. It's a very difficult situation. I get it. All right. I totally get it that it's not an easy thing to figure out. And for whatever reason, the Major League Baseball players and owners just do the worst job of trying to get along. That it's frustrating for me. It's frustrating for everybody. But for whatever reason, that's reality. I want to give you what Scott Boras has been saying. This is from Jeff Passan's article at ESPN.com. These are quotes from Scott Boras that he sent out to his clients. Okay, and he's got a lot of them. In fact, he's got three. Did you know this? The Executive Council of Major League Baseball Players Association. So like eight guys that are kind of like the think tank for Major League Baseball Players Association. Three of them are Boras clients.
Wow.
Think about that kind of influence. 37.5%, 38% of the Executive Council is a Boras client. Here are some quotes from him. Quote, remember, games cannot be played without you. Players should not agree to further pay cuts to bail out the owners. Let owners take some of their record revenues and profits from the past several years and pay you the prorated salaries you agreed to accept, or let them borrow against the asset values they created from the use of those profits players generated. Owners are asking for more salary cuts to bail them out of the investment decisions that they have made, Boras said. If this was just about baseball, playing games would give the owners enough money to pay the players their full prorated salaries and run the baseball organization. The owners' current problem is a result of the money they have borrowed when they purchased their franchise, renovated their stadiums, or developed land around their ballparks. This type of financing is allowed and encouraged by Major League Baseball because it has resulted in significant franchise valuations. Owners now want players to take additional pay cuts to help them pay these loans. They want a bailout. They're not offering players a share of the stadiums, ballpark villages, or the club itself, even though salary reductions would help owners pay for these valuable franchise assets. These billionaires want the money for free. No bank would do that. Banks demand loans be prepaid with interest. Players should be entitled to the same respect. Throughout this process, they will be able to claim that they have never had any profits because those profits went to pay off their loans. However, the end result is that the Ricketts will own improved assets that significantly increase the value of the Cubs, value that is not shared with the players. Make no mistake, owners have chosen to take on these loans because in normal times, it is a smart financial decision. But the unnecessary choices have now put them in a challenging spot. Players should stand strong because players are not the ones who advised owners to borrow money to purchase their franchises, and players are not the ones who have benefited from the record revenues and profits. What he's talking about is now every ball club, every baseball organization is not just about their ticket revenue. They're about, like the Cubs, buying all the land around them, turning it into bars and restaurants and rooftop viewing areas, and generating revenue around on the land around them. We did a story on this. We talked to a couple of people a year or so ago about how the Golden State Warriors arena is not just about a new arena. It's about they're going to own all the land around it. So the entertainment district, think of it this way. It's like the Royals putting the P&L around them.
Yeah.
And then garnering all the profits from the P&L. Now, the Royals are in a unique situation. The Royals ownership does not have any lavish revenue-producing land around them, right? For whatever reason, that area just doesn't grow. The ballpark is in the wrong spot. And make no doubt about it, when the Royals do, and I think it's when, not if, when the Royals do go downtown, the ownership is going to want more land than just what the footprint of the stadium is. Yeah. They're going to want the land to have their own bars and restaurants and parking lots and everything else that comes that are amenity producing. They're going to want it because that's the new game. The Golden State Warriors Arena is surrounded with basically its own P&L district that the Golden State Warriors will own. The money that they will pay the players on the salary cap will come from the basketball revenue, right?
Mm-hmm.
It comes from the basketball revenue. Yes, the TV deal, lavish TV deal. Yes, the ticket sales. But they're earning millions, tens of millions. They will earn hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars more, on all the land that's around it. That will go into the organization. The players only get the basketball revenue, yet the organization takes out loans to go out and build the other revenue streams. So for the clubs to sit here and talk about where their bottom line is, and a bottom line that leaves them up against it so much harder than they should, it's because they're taking their revenues from the sports, in this case, what Scott Boras is talking about, they're taking their revenues from baseball and they're building new businesses. Yes, new businesses that are attached and certainly greatly benefit from the baseball team being there, right? All this ballpark village area around the Cubs. Yes, if they don't play Cubs baseball, it doesn't have any value. But it's all been built. The risk that the owners say in every negotiation that, hey, we have all the risk. The risk is one that they incurred themselves. Instead of taking out loans that aren't tied to baseball, instead of just using their own money to pay for it outright, they took out loans against their baseball revenue. So in their effort to make money from the team but outside of the true baseball revenue, which is what goes to the players, and it's even easier to go dollar for dollar in the NBA, NHL, and NFL that have salary caps, right? And it's a split revenue share. They're now wanting what Scott Boras's point is, and it's a good one. Their tough financial times are their own decisions. It is not your job to give back money that they agreed to pay you because in their own business dealings to generate even more revenue, even more wealth for themselves, they now find hard times.
Yeah, the idea, and you said it very well, that part of the reason why owners are allowed to make 50% of the money when they don't really do that much is it's said so often it's almost become like a catchphrase. They use all the money, but they take all the risk. They take all the risk. Well, this is the risk.
Yes,
this is it right here. If you don't take this, then you don't take any risk. Stop talking about it. This is what it's about. It's so simple.
And I want to go back and point out that the players, when they shut it down, could have said, we're giving you nothing. Give me my check. Those are guaranteed contracts.
Yeah.
Okay? They are guaranteed. Those guys show up and are ready to play. They're doing their job. The federal government, the state government, says that they can't show up. That's not their doing. So the players initially, the biggest mistake that the players have made was giving the owners the prorated agreement. They basically said, okay, we will share in the losses with you. They didn't necessarily say, we'll share equally. Will the owners lose more than the players? Yeah. Yeah, it certainly looks that way because they're not going to put fans in the stands. But again, as Curtis just said, this is the risk. This is what you say in all those labor negotiations, but we assume all the risks. So then take them.
Then assume them, yeah.
Walk it the way you talk it. I mean, it literally is as simple as that. And so I continue to believe that the owners should just have to bite the bullet on this. And believe me, they've got massive assets and they've got tremendous loan valuations to where they can go out and take out loans like every other business is being asked to do right now to get through these difficult times. The Major League Baseball just boggles my mind. Like, who was it we had on? Was it Joe Sheehan yesterday who said Boeing took the bailout money and used it to buy their stock back?
Yeah, it was Joe.
At a low price, and now they don't have any money to run their company, and they're looking for more money from the government.
Tough. You had the money. You spent it to make more, and that's on you, man.
If we are going to be a true capitalistic society, then everybody owes what they've agreed to pay, and everybody's responsible for their own business. And if they can't do it, they file bankruptcy, and stronger companies come in and buy it. Whatever you do right now, if you work for an insurance company and it's going through problems or whatever, it's something that makes something, you know, the car companies. If the car companies, who we bailed out back at the mortgage and loan crisis time, if the car companies can't operate, yes, will there be pain for the individual workers? Of course there will. They're out of business. They don't have a job. But somebody will buy it and start it up and then presumably run it better. They'll have the money to put into the business and run it better. They'll either shrink it, they'll get rid of the less profitable parts, and they'll run it better. And then they will need employees, and they will go hire said employees. As it is right now, Major League Baseball is asking what all of us around the country are really being asked to do. And that is, we all have to share in the risks. We're all taking pay cuts all over the place because the businesses have never been run preparing for tough times. Tough times that always come around. No matter how good the good times are, you know that there are tough times to come. Whether that's the savings and loans problem, whether that's a pandemic, whether that's a war, tough times are always around the corner. No matter how good they are, there will always be tough times. And, you know, this at least, the one thing I will say about this is this at least is millionaires fighting with billionaires. Generally speaking, it's people that need their paycheck. They either live paycheck to paycheck or they're spending an entire lifetime of work to put themselves in position to retire comfortably. So even if they can absorb not getting a paycheck for a little while, they're having to spend their entire life working to be able to just have a retirement. Maybe it's a great retirement. Maybe it's a good retirement. It's not the kind of retirement that the owners or the players are going to have. It is a fight between millionaires and billionaires. And there is no reason for the millionaires to bail out the billionaires. None. None. Now, will the players feel it in the future? They will. But let capitalism do its thing. Let it naturally work its course. If the owners lose money, then the players are going to feel it in the sense that the free agents over the next couple of years are not going to get the kind of deals they want. And it will correct itself naturally over the course of things.
Imagine this conversation. You have a friend who has a lot of money, and they come to you and they say, dude, give me some money. And you go, well, wait, didn't you have a lot of money? Yeah. What happened to it? I spent it. So now I need more.
Or even,
give it to me.
But it's not even that. It's tied up in stocks.
Yeah.
I need money because didn't spend it all. They did. They spent some of it. They reinvested it. Yeah. Well, it's tied up in this ballpark village. We'll sell the $200 million in Microsoft stock you've got.
Yeah.
Pay for it that way. Sell your $40 million house. Sell your other $20 million house. But don't come asking me for a loan. That's absolutely what's going on here. No, we have other investments, and we're not going to sell any of them. Well, why not? Well, the market's down, and I would take a loss. Well, by the way, you guys are really good at getting those tax write-offs. That would be a tax write-off if you take a loss, and then you'd have the money to pay the salaries that you agreed to pay, not once, but twice. You agreed when we signed the contract, and you agreed again when we agreed to take less money. You agreed to pay it. So if you've got to sell stock at a loss, if you've got to take on a new investor and lose some of your ownership, that's supposed to be what capitalism is. That's supposed to be how business is done. Asking the workers to pay for the company.
If that's the case, I want a 5% profit from Ballpark Village. directly to my account. I want 5% of all four casinos, Mr. Corleone.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, it's to me, it boggles my mind where we're at. I do worry about whether or not we're going to get baseball, and I worry about what it's going to look like. Let's take a break. We'll come back. I want to give you Trevor Bauer's comments because one thing that may be bad news for the players but good news for getting baseball is that Trevor Bauer is not on the same page with Scott Boras. We'll talk about that next here in the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
Well, I got to smack you in the back of the head to get you to tell me whatever the hell it is you're trying to say out the front of your mouth.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back here to the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro with you. We're talking about some baseball economics. Why wouldn't we, right? Don't have any baseball on the field, so let's talk about the economics of the game. By the way, Stump the Chumps coming up in our next hour. Great Cajun food from Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen, and the triumphant return of our good friend Peter Yates Enoch, as we will give you a chance to Stump the Chumps coming up here in a couple of minutes. Trevor Bauer has fired out in a tweet. He said, quote, "Hearing a lot of rumors about a certain player agent meddling in MLBPA affairs. If true, and at this point these are only rumors, I have only one thing to say. Scott Boras, rep your clients however you want, but keep your damn personal agenda out of union business." All right. He not only tweeted that out, he tagged Scott Boras's Twitter account to make sure that he knew it was coming. If you want to follow Trevor Bauer, Bauer Outage is his Twitter account.
I see what he did there. That's good
stuff.
Yeah,
you see what he did? Yeah, it's a Bauer Outage. I have decided to follow Trevor Bauer because he's certainly a guy that's got a lot of strong opinions. Yeah. Anyway, he's firing out at Boras. I mentioned Boras has three of the eight executive council members that are his clients. And, you know, one of the most outspoken guys is Max Scherzer. And Max Scherzer is one of his clients, and he is on the executive council. And so he has fired out on this subject and basically saying that they're ready to shut it down and shut the season down. Trevor Bauer sounds like he doesn't like Scott Boras being this influential. That's the reality. And listen, Boras got even more influential because you know who just became a Boras client? Blake Snell.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Blake Snell just signed on to the Boras Corporation after he made his comments about how he's not going out there. And his comments certainly would seem to be in line with the comments that I read you. And if you didn't hear him, you'll have to catch the podcast at 810WHB.com or on the 810 app. He would certainly seem to be in line with the comments of Scott Boras, who says, listen, they can't play without you. Now, the only way they can play without you would be scab players. And any high-level prospect is not going to cross the line because they feel like, hey, I'm pretty soon going to be part of that MLBPA.
Yeah,
so they're not going to go. Would you pay to see low-level minor league talent play in a Royals uniform?
No. No.
Would you watch it on TV?
No. Even less likely to watch it on TV.
I actually would. I would, but not with the same ferocity, consistency. I don't know. If it looked like crap, probably not. I would still check it out if they said these games are going to count. Because I watched scab football. Did you watch scab football in 87?
Yeah, it's been a long time, but yeah, I did. I did watch the NFL.
It's been a long time, and I was a lot younger and certainly more naive as a young person.
The Chiefs were terrible in those three games. I remember that. They got smoked twice.
Oh, God, they did a terrible job. They just assumed it wasn't going to happen and then had to throw together a team, and they were god-awful. But I don't think the owners are going to do that because I think most people are not like me. Like, I actually, when I get up in time, I'm catching the end of the KBO games just because it's sports and I picked a team to root for. When it's the Dinos, I will catch the – and if I'm up late and the game starts at 12:30 in the morning, I'm watching the Dinos on the KBO because I picked a team. Now, when Major League Baseball starts, will I be watching the KBO, as Joe Sheehan asked me? No, I probably won't. This would not be, you know, ever have to compete with Major League Baseball because they would be doing it to break the union. but I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think they can get it together this fast. And you've already got minor league players that are sideways with ownership. I don't know that they'd be looking all excitedly after making nothing down in the minors to ride in and try to bail out the owners.
It's the same, I think.
Certainly not at their minor league wages, right?
Right. Yeah, it's the same. It's the same factor that leads the $540,000 a year guys to side with the guys who are making $35 million. It's that they see themselves in that spot one day, and they don't want to put any roadblocks out there to stop it.
Yeah, no, I think it's interesting. I think the fact that Bauer is firing out at Boris shows that there are already cracks amongst the Players Association. I had a player tell me once that back when they were going with the scab players, had the owners stuck with it for like two more weeks, they probably would have broken the players union. And if that information has gotten to a talk show fatty, I'm sure it's gotten around to the owners.
Yeah,
and we'll see how far they're willing to go on this. But in my opinion, I think the players are going to stand strong. And if the owners don't come up with some kind of deferred money coming back, if they can find a way to get that money back, I think reality is to just let the economic system that is baseball take care of it in the long run. If the owners go into the red and have to pay loans to get through this time, then that means they're going to spend less on payroll in the future. And it will take care of itself. That's what I think will happen. And I think they need to pay what they owe right now, but the players need to know that there's not going to be as robust a free agent market out there if this is the path they choose to go down. That's just the reality of it. But if Trevor Bauer is firing out on Scott Boras, those are cracks already within the Players Association. Doesn't mean it's going to crumble, but it's definitely a crack in the Players Association. 913-810-810. We'll take a break. We've got end of the hour coming up. Your chance to win some great Cajun food from Jazz with the end of the hour question. Then, of course, stump the chumps on the other side. Grab a line once we get into the break. Peter Yates, Enoch coming back. Your chance to win great Cajun food from Jazz. A Louisiana kitchen, the best Cajun food anywhere around. That's what's coming up next here in the program.
It's the Jazz End of the Hour Question on The Half Shell. Sponsored by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.
Laissez le bon temps rouler.
All right, on this date in 1951, Willie Mays collected his first major league hit. Off what pitcher did it come? Brought to you by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.